This episode of DG's Core Room is sponsored by Draft, a daily fantasy app where your chances of winning are almost three times better than on FanDuel or DraftKings. On Draft, it's draft day every day. You can do a simple snake draft for one day whenever you want. Drafts take just minutes to complete. Download Draft now. Be sure to enter the promo code DFBPOD when you download to get a 100% deposit bonus. And with that, we are off. Welcome to the show. For Wednesday, January 18th, 2017, a nine-game slate on tap. I'm your host, the judge, Daniel Green. You can find me on Twitter at DanielAGreen1. Hope you guys had a very nice Tuesday. Another small slate on Tuesday with five games. Some super high scoring because you had two games with at least two games with massive over-unders. And the late game of the night, Denver at Lakers, ended up close to like a 250 over-under. So if you went to bed thinking you're going to cash, you didn't have any players in that Lakers-Denver game, you may wake up and be like, what the hell happened? What happened is there was zero defense being played. Luke Walton went nuts, didn't play any of his starters, but all the Denver guys went ballistic. Jokic is the greatest player on the planet, so we'll talk about him in the Dream Lovers segment, but guys like Barton, even the Moutier did okay. Everyone did great for Denver except Jameer Nelson, who decided he only wanted to take one shot and not join in on the fun. But, I mean, it was a super high-scoring game, and it was funny to watch a lot of people who thought they were going to make a lot of money. And then I'm telling you, there's no worse feeling in the world if you have no exposure in that last game of the night and you're sitting, you know, high up in the money and you just watch that come down fast, especially on a small slate. If it's only like a five-game slate, and in the late game, I mean, you had guys like Fareed who were, you know, 50% owned. Jokic was, you know, really high owned. Even Jameer Nelson was high owned. I mean, all the guys were. Barton was high owned. So yeah, a lot of guys thought they were drinking champagne, ended up drinking some Johnny Walker Black, Red, depending on your, I guess what you prefer. But hopefully you guys ended up the night making money. I know a lot of you did. So congrats to those of you who made money on Tuesday. But Wednesday is a new day. It's a new chance for glory. And now we don't have to choose. Now all of us are not going to be on the same guys. There are nine games. This is where we separate the boys from the men, the peasants from the lords, the Covingtons from the Covingtons, if that makes any sense. But it's a cool slate. So looking forward to it. I feel like we've had crappy slates for like the last four, five, 6 days. So this will be good. Before we get started with the show, please rate, review, and subscribe to the podcast. A lot of you have done it before. Only takes a couple seconds. Help the judge out. Support the show. Support the podcast. It'd be much appreciated. Also, please download the app Draft. Use the promo code DFBPOD. I know some of you are IT challenged like the judge. So you download it and you don't know where to put in the promo code. Just let me know, and I'll hook you up. I'll make sure you get the 100% deposit bonus, and the judge gets credit as well. You can either tweet at me on Twitter at DanielAGreen1, or contact me via my website dgcourtroomdfs.com. Also, you may notice the judge has lots of quirky, wacky terms I use. Now, we get lots of new people to the show. I'm always surprised every day. I look at how many downloads, listens. And we're getting over 6,000 people listening each day. So, you know, every day I can't kind of go over. I wish I could. I wish I could do a 2-3 hour podcast, but then no one would listen. I could tell you what each of my phrases, what they mean. But if you go to dgcourtroomdfs.com and click on glossary, you will see it's glorious. You will see almost all the terms that I use in the show. Granted, some of the things on there might not be completely accurate because the website is not 100% functional right now, just due to the time constraints that I'm currently under. But most of the terms like Tin Man, Waffle House, you know, the Core Four, some of you guys were asking about, all those are basically up on the website. So if you want to take that, you know, maybe I should update that. And maybe we can add some new terms like Dream Killers, Dream Lovers are obviously on there. Maybe we can add some new terms. In the glossary there, which would be fun. So if you go there and you think there's anything that's not on there, let me know. Maybe there's some new ones. I know Soul Crusher is not on there. That one maybe we have to add. But anyway, I digress, my friends. as I was saying, download the app Draft. I'm very excited that tomorrow, I think tomorrow morning, maybe sometime when you wake up or early in the morning on Wednesday, there will be a new Judges Chambers NCAA style bracket to the death, a 5-day event extravaganza that where only the best of the best will survive that battle. So we had two of those running over the weekend. I mean, and they were a lot of fun. I think the one tomorrow is going to be a $20 entry fee. There's only 32 spots. Remember, it's for 5 days. So don't let the entry fee scare you off. Although I am trying to get one with a lower entry fee up for later this week as well. I think with a $5 or $10 entry fee with like 60, maybe 64 people can join. So, and if you do enter, let me know, because I want to know which ones of you guys are actually in the NCAA bracket challenge on Draft, so I can play with you and watch the results. So other than that, if you want a consultation with the judge, again, I'm not sure how much longer I'm going to do them. I had another one, I think I heard that I had one or two on Wednesday. I love doing them. The problem is just time. So if you want to get the judge's tricks on research, you know, roster construction, entering the right contest, which data do I track on Excel spreadsheets every night? You know, all that good stuff, you know, let me know. Cause at some point I may have to just cut those out of my life so I can, have a little bit more time for me and the bailiff to go on some long walks, especially when the weather gets nice. Other than that, Chambers, which is a daily tournament we run on DraftKings and FanDuel and on the app Draft, which are the best players in DFS join every night. And we have an awesome time doing that. Remember, if you've been listening to the podcast now for a while and you haven't joined Chambers yet, you are ready. The judge is telling you it is your time to shine. If you've been trying to get in Chambers, you haven't been able to, yeah, you can tweet at me and I'll try to make sure that you get in, because they do fill up kind of fast. On Tuesday night, we had three Chambers on FanDuel, like we always do. And the winners were team_Corby, put up a score of 369, which is a hell of a score. I mean, that's just a monster. I mean, there were four or five guys who had over 50 FanDuel points on this night on a small slate. It's pretty crazy. So that's why there were super high scores. I mean, I'm pretty sure in like the slam, which is the $25 entry fee, you needed like a 330 to cash. In a lot of my single entry fees, you needed around a 330 to cash as well. Chambers might have been even higher than that. It was a pretty crazy night for scoring. But Team Corby had the top score of the night, a 369. That would have made a ton of money anywhere on this slate. That's his second win, his fourth cash of the year. Number four ranked, Slappy 1975. That's the name on Twitter. His fifth win, his 11th cash. So he's trying to make a move up into that top three. The top three is tough. So congrats to him. Super Fargo, his second win, his fifth cash of the year. So all repeat winners on Tuesday night. So congrats to you guys. On DraftKings, we had 50 people. Congrats to @Matthew Piper. Or Pifer? It's P-I-E-F-E-R. God, one of the worst things I do every night, just so you guys know, take you a little behind the curtains, is, man, after the Chambers results are done, trying to figure out whose username is what Twitter handle. And, like, I waste so much time doing that every night. I may just put your username and not even try to find your Twitter handle. Because some of you guys may have noticed a couple days ago, I put down like the wrong Twitter handle. It was like this 14-year-old kid who's like, you know, then he tweets at me. He's like, what are you talking about? What's this Chambers? I'm like, so you gotta, you know, if he's misspelled with one little letter, it's very hard, man. And especially, it's always like, you know, 2-3 in the morning by the time I send out the tweets. So anyway, congrats to Matthew Piper, who took down DK Chambers. A fantastic score of 345 on DK. Remember, DK is only 8 players, so that's a beautiful score there. James Reed Jr. took second. Superhero for Life took third. Too Tall Jamal took fourth. And SS Masher took fifth. So good job, guys. The judge salutes all of you on this night. Dream Killers, let's start with Luke Walton, shall we? I'm not sure how many of you were up watching the late game. The judge actually fell asleep. I watched the first quarter, then I passed out. I woke up. There were 4 minutes to go in the third quarter, and I look on the court, I don't see fat Waffle House Julius Randle. I don't see Russell. I'm like, that's annoying. All right, but they got to get back in soon. I look at their stats. Randle was doing okay. Russell was not. And they never got back in the game. They never got back in the game. I think Randle ended up with maybe 24, 25 minutes. Russell was like 17 minutes. Russell had like 12 FanDuel points. Randle with like 20, maybe 21 or something like that. So Dream Killers, Luke Walton basically rode the bench. Guys like Jordan Clarkson went nuts. Lou Williams went nuts. Nick Young went nuts. And to me, it doesn't make any sense whatsoever. Because, yes, the Lakers came back. And Denver, they were getting blown out by Denver. They made a nice run. And they still lost. And quite honestly, like, let's say that they actually came back and won that game. Who the hell cares? Like, what would that have done? Like, what's more important to the Lakers' future? Getting Russell and Randle some you know, experience and letting them play in crunch time and letting them play in fourth quarters? Or letting Swaggy frickin' P take fadeaway three-pointers to get back in the game? It just makes no sense to me what some of these coaches do. You know, I know Luke Walton, he's probably still getting a lot of praise. He was getting a ton of praise earlier in the year. But to me, it's just a stupid decision. I'd be interested to see what Lakers fans actually think about it. Because, I mean, you got to see what Russell and Randle have. I mean, play the young guys. It's pretty clear that the one guy that Luke Walton loves is Brandon Ingram. Because he plays Brandon Ingram a ton of minutes, regardless of how that guy's performing. And Ingram actually had a fantastic game on Tuesday. I think one of our Chambers winners, maybe a couple, actually played him. And then Luol Deng ended up being out after lineup lock. And Ingram had one of the best games of the year. But it seems to be pretty much a consensus that the Lakers think that he's going to be their best player going forward, you know, in the next year, two, three years in time. But I mean, I just don't get why Russell and Randle aren't getting more. They should get 30 minutes every night. I don't care how bad they're playing. Jameer Nelson for Denver, Dream Killer. With Gary Harris out, he played a ton of minutes yesterday, and we thought he may start. And if he doesn't start, we thought he's going to get 24, 26 minutes. He barely got 20, and he just didn't look invested in the game. Some of that was he's actually a good point guard. Where he'll, if other guys are hot, he'll let him shoot the ball. And on this night, Will the Thrill Barton was super hot. Jokic is the greatest player in the world, and he'll be priced $14,000 probably by the next time they play. So Jameer took, I think he took one shot, maybe two max. He just didn't. He was so non-aggressive. It was super frustrating because I had a decent amount of him. Damari Carroll, yeah, Brooklyn kept that game relatively close. As most of you probably know, Kyle Lowry was ruled out due to rest about maybe 17 minutes before lineup lock. So all of us had to scramble. Hopefully you were fortunate enough to put in Corey Joseph, who became, in my opinion, a must play when the second Lowry was out because they were playing Brooklyn. But Damari Carroll played like 26 minutes, and he had like 10 FanDuel points in like the first 5 minutes and then did like nothing the rest of the game and didn't play in the fourth quarter. It was actually pretty freaking annoying. So he had like 19 FanDuel points on the night. At his salary, most people still played him and still cashed, but it was just annoying. Whiteside only had like 32 FanDuel points, so even against Houston, did not come through for us. If you played hashtag Bumdanovich for Brooklyn, he sucked again. My bae, Jonas Valanciunas, he actually got beat up by Brook Lopez. That was one of the best games I've seen Brook Lopez play. Brook Lopez, I was reading articles before that how much those two hate each other. I guess they have some type of rivalry, which is bizarre, but like whatever. But Brook Lopez came to play, and the weird thing is that if you watch Valanciunas play, every time like something goes wrong, let's say he gets his shot blocked, he takes a bad shot, he doesn't get a rebound, he'll look over to the bench because he thinks that Casey's going to take him out if he makes like one mistake. It's got to be super hard to play like that. I mean, you can easily just think of it in your own terms in your own life. If you're at the office and your freaking boss, you know, is micromanaging you and watching you every second, you know, and waiting and going to yell at you if you make any little mistake, it's super frustrating, super annoying. You're walking on eggshells. And that's how Valanciunas has to play some nights. So, I mean, early on, the second Brook Lopez started having getting it going, you could tell he was going to have not a great night. And plus, when Lowry went out, that meant Corey Joseph is going to start. And while Corey Joseph is a really, you know, a nice player, especially against Brooklyn, he thinks like DeMar DeRozan. He thinks he's like the greatest player in the world, and he never passes. Never, 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 never. So immediately I'm thinking, dear God, no one's going to pass Jonas the ball. Because DeMar, I mean, there were times when Valanciunas had great post position, DeMar would just wave him off. Joseph would just wave him off. Honestly, I threw my gavel at the TV. It was freaking annoying. But so just one of those nights. Valanciunas still ended up with 19, and he got benched for some dude named hashtag Pretzel late in the fourth quarter, the last like 6 minutes. So tough night if you played Valanciunas. Not entirely his fault though. If you played D Wade, man, he's just not efficient anymore. That's his main problem this year. He just has really bad shooting nights, and a lot of that is because he is not as athletic these days. So he doesn't get easy buckets. And in a super pace down game against Dallas, it was just a struggle for him and a horrible loss for the Bulls. If you played because Patrick Patterson was out, if you tried to play Naguera, I just call him Noghead, for Toronto, it was a good play. I liked the play. I had some exposure. Like after five or 7 minutes, he got hit in the face. I can't remember who hit him for Brooklyn, but I thought he just, you know, he seemed like he was fine. And then he went to the bench. Then I saw him going to the locker room, and I was like, well, that's a little odd. And then he never came back in. And I think he just had blurred vision. Maybe he had a concussion. But I was surprised. The hit wasn't that vicious. But so if you played him, dream killer, because he got you like maybe 5 FanDuel points. And it was against Brooklyn. Dream lovers, lots of dream lovers on this slate. Corey Joseph, dude put up 10 times the salary. He had over 40 FanDuel points at 3.9K on FanDuel. I think it was 3.4K on DraftKings. James Harden on this slate, even though Houston played horrible, they shot the ball horrifically and had a bad loss against Miami. Harden was like the only guy for Houston who played well. DeMar DeRozan, he went nuts. Without Lowry, he gets, I think it was like an 8% usage bump. So that went from his 34% to like 42%, which is just ridiculous. So the second Lowry went out, I put Joseph and DeMar in almost every lineup I had. Jokic, you know, I faded him in a lot of lineups, and he smacked me over the head with my own gavel. He put up over 50 FanDuel points. The Lakers had no one to contain him. I think that's part of the reason they played a lot of Zubac or Zubac, whatever the hell that guy's name is. Part of the reason Randall didn't get back in the game. And Mozgov didn't play a ton. But Jokic was just killing them. There was a stretch in like the third, fourth quarter where he must have had 15, 20 FanDuel points in like a 3-minute stretch. He's just so freaking good. Will the Thrill Barton, one of those days where he had it going. And Mike Malone, as much as we make fun of Mike Malone, you really can't on this slate because he played the guys who were hot. And his rotation was pretty solid. So he didn't do anything too wacky. I wish Jameer Nelson would have got some more minutes, but he, quite honestly, he didn't deserve them. Will Barton played excellent. He deserved the minutes. Kawhi Leonard, it was annoying because Butler and Kawhi both played well. And like, it stinks when two guys are basically the same price and they both end up with really good games. I mean, it's basically like if you let's say you hook up with a hot girl, or if you're a girl listening, you hook up with a hot guy. And then you come home, you tell your roommate about it, and he's like, yeah, I basically hooked up with her too. And then you're like, what? So you're feeling great, and then you're like, what? Then you don't feel that great, right? You're like, you don't know how to feel. And that's basically the Kawhi-Jimmy Butler situation on this slate. Like, they both played really well. It was just super annoying. Like, one of you guys be a dream killer, and one be a dream lover. That's what I'd like. Anyway, Kawhi and Butler were both good. Kawhi was a little bit better. Terrence Ross went nuts for Toronto. Kenneth Faried, even though he had back issues again in the fourth quarter, he put up over 30 FanDuel points at his price. That was very good. Power forward was actually really loaded on this slate. And then you had both freaking Lopez brothers, Brooke and Robin. Brooke, that was one of the best games I've seen Brooke play because he was actually aggressive. He got some rebounds and he beat up Valanciunas, which I did not think was possible. And then Robin Lopez came out of nowhere and had like over 20 actual points. And then James Johnson for Miami in a high-paced game against Houston was excellent as well. All right. Injury news for Wednesday. God, man. The problem is I love doing the Dream Killer, Dream Lover segment because I love recapping the games. Also, I just love – that's time that I get to rant. But, man, a nine-game slate, it's hard to do because we have lots of cover. And it's already 3:45 in the morning and I'm tired. All right. I wonder if I should drink a coffee. Like, I'm too nervous to drink a coffee before the show because then I'm worried I'll never get to sleep at all. And I need that. And I need to get to sleep right after the show. But after the show, I have like an adrenaline rush. So I got to like wind down. It's very, if any of you have any suggestions for the judge, I mean, you can send them in to me because it's tough. All right. Injury news for Wednesday. Remember, there's a lot. Nine games. You got to be ready to pivot. The guys who are questionable, guys who are doubtful, you know, be thinking about it all day and know what you're going to do. Well, when the news finally does come, if they're going to play or not. So you got Noghead for Toronto with the blurred vision. Looks like he's questionable, and Patrick Patterson is questionable. So dear God, they got to play our boy Valanciunas on Wednesday, right? You would think. TJ McConnell is looks like he's doubtful with a wrist. I cannot believe on a nine-game slate I may have to play Sergio Rodriguez. I already want to bang myself with my gavel. Just what a sickening feeling because there's not a ton of value at point guard, and Rodriguez is dirt cheap right now. Jeremy Lamb's out with a foot. Tyler Zeller, he's got that flu or whatever he has, so it looks like he's out for Boston. Porzingis still dealing with the Achilles, and he's still doubtful. Carmelo gets the massive bump. It's like a 7-8% usage rate bump when he's out. The biggest one, Anthony Davis, questionable with a right hip and a left thumb. I mean, he's the Tin Man. We know he's not going to play. Come on. Or if he plays, he's going to go back to the locker room at halftime. The weird thing is when he's out, Drew Holiday gets like a 5% bump. Could this finally be a day we go back to playing Drew Holiday? I swore him off once Tyreek started getting minutes. But if Anthony Davis is out, maybe Drew Holiday, but especially Tyreek Evans, I will play. Tyreek actually doesn't see a huge usage bump without Anthony Davis, at least when you look at the stats. Evan Fournier is questionable with a foot injury. Bismack, questionable with a right knee. Houston's pretty fascinating. So Eric Gordon's got an ankle injury, and Ryan Anderson has a flu. They're both questionable. If both those guys are out, James Harden sees a 10% usage rate increase. So he goes from 36 to 46% usage rate. So like on this slate, I didn't really want to play Harden on a back-to-back against Milwaukee, where I prefer Giannis. But if those guys are out, how can you fade Harden with almost a 50% usage rate? So lots of choices we're going to have to make. John Luehr and KCP are both questionable for Detroit. And Ty Lawson with an ankle is questionable. So maybe some Darren Collison. All right. Let's take a quick trip to Vegas. So we're still waiting on four lines due to those injury news I just spoke about. You have OKC at Golden State, 220-27 over under. Golden State is favored by 12.5. You know, for Golden State, this is, you know, somewhat of a decent line. So you think OKC, who's coming off a bad loss against the Clippers, you hope maybe they can keep this close at least through three quarters. So lots of juicy guys in this game. Obviously, you got guys like Westbrook, Curry, Durant, you know, Draymond Green. So I would have one lineup and stack this game. If it stays close, fantasy goodness all over the place. You also, though, have the Bucks at Houston, a 227 over-under. So this is the same over-under as OKC Golden State, which is surprising to me. The Bucks don't play at the fastest pace, so I wouldn't think this over-under, I think it caught me off guard a little bit. But Houston's a 7.5-point favorite here. You know, in this game, we know who's, you know, same with OKC Golden State. For the most part, you know who's going to get the minutes. Well, at least Houston does have a couple injuries that they're dealing with. Maybe Sam Decker actually gets some minutes if Gordon and Anderson are out. But you know guys like Harden, Ariza are locked into monster minutes on this slate. Patrick Beverley. And for the Bucks, Giannis, Jabari Parker, and Brogdon are both really good plays. You got Portland and Charlotte. That's a game that I'm looking at. Portland plays no defense in the backcourt. So Batum and my boy Kemba Walker are excellent plays. And then Damian Lillard's still too cheap on FanDuel as well for Portland. Then you got Memphis, Washington. That's the worst game of the night over under. That's 205. And with Memphis playing way up in pace, there's still some guys that I like from that game for Memphis. All right, teams playing up in pace. I mentioned OKC. Man, we'll get to Westbrook in a second, but he could have a monster night here. I want him just to absolutely destroy Curry and dunk and kick Durant in the face. Because Durant has ruined the NBA and ruined DFS by going to Golden State. How fun would it be if Durant was still on OKC? And then Golden State, we could actually play the Golden State guys in cash and not have these ridiculous 15, 16, 17 point favorites. You know, Golden State being favored by that many points every night. The NBA would be so much better off. The Bucks playing way up in pace against Houston, Sacramento playing way up in pace against Indiana, and Orlando playing up in pace against the New Orleans, no defense Pelicans. All right, let's hop into the plays. I may go kind of fast because there's lots to talk about, lots of plays, 9-game slate. You take a sip of water, talk amongst yourselves for a second. All right, Westbrook, 12.3K. I don't think you need to do it. It's a 9-game slate. If you look at the history of what's happened on slates, about 8 games or higher on this year, Westbrook hasn't been in, I'd say the over 50% of lineups, I would say, have not had Westbrook. I'm not saying that's scientific because I have not looked at the actual raw data, but that seems to be the case because he's 12.3K. That's super expensive. He's got to give you 60 just to feel good about it. And quite honestly, even if he gives you 60, you still could take down a GPP because a couple other point guards who have monster usage rates are going to go off too. He's really got to get you really 70, 80, something like that to basically – To get to a point where if you don't have him, you're basically screwed. So I don't think you need to play him. With that said, I do think he's obviously in an elite spot. OKC playing way up in pace. The blowout's a minor concern, but if this game stays close at all, he should destroy Curry. He's gonna obviously highest usage rate in the NBA. He has a true usage of 45.6%, which is by far the most in the NBA. So fine for all formats. Right now, I am going to lock him into cash games because you can use him like him and the Sergio Rodriguez for cash games if McConnell's out. Isaiah Thomas is 9.7K. He's so freaking expensive now. For a one-trick pony, I'm not going to do it in cash because now he has to give me 50 FanDuel points. Yes, I love the 35% usage rate. I think the matchup is fine here. Attacking the Knicks, even though the Knicks only give up the 8th fewest FanDuel points to point guards. I don't know how that's possible. But Isaiah's only hit 50 FanDuel points maybe, let's see, 2 times in the last 10 games. So remember, he's had games where he has 0 assists. Avery Bradley is back now. So is he probably going to end up like in the 40s? Probably. But like, you know, I would just feel more comfortable going into other routes in cash games. But for tournaments, will I have some Isaiah exposure? Absolutely. He's still an excellent play. Steph Curry, his price has come up a little bit, 9.2K. I'll love to stack this game with a Westbrook Curry as my 2 point guards. Obviously, that will limit what you can do with the rest of your lineup. But I love attacking Westbrook. I do it every night in a lot of lineups because he exerts so much energy on the offensive end. Curry's played a little bit better lately, but he's still – I don't think he's cash game worthy, especially on a 9-game slate. He's been hovering around the 40 mark the last few games, so he's getting more consistent, it seems like. But, again, on a 9-game slate, I still wouldn't play – I still don't want to play him in cash. Single entry, though, in tournaments, absolutely. John Wall, this is a day – I think he's an intriguing tournament guy. We've seen teams be able to attack Utah and Memphis at the guard position, and that can be how you take down a GPP. John Wall is going to be in GPPs, especially the large ones, which are multi-entry. You're playing against all the pros who are sitting in their computers with their nerds, having their mom cook them meatloaf as they enter lineups, they let the computer build them lineups of every possible combination. On this slate, I mean, what you got to do is you got to play ownership percentages. So John Wall is going to be super low owned on this slate. If you play a lot of lineups, I'd recommend playing one with John Wall. Not that it's a great play, just because he's going to be low owned. And he's still, there is a chance he dictates pace, and then maybe Conley picks up a little as well. So I don't love the play, especially don't love it in cash on this slate. But for tournaments, I'll have a little exposure. Damian Lillard, Kyle Lowry. So I guess he sat out Tuesday. He's going to play on Wednesday. Now we're going to get him some rest at Philly. He should smash. He should be fine. Fine for all formats. It's hard. I mean, unless you've watched him play, watched Toronto play, it's hard to understand how efficient he is, because he still puts up monster numbers playing with the ball hog that is DeMar DeRozan. Not a great usage rate of like 26-27%, but just he's so good. I think he's safe for all formats. The upside worries me a little bit. I'm totally fine with the play. I mean, Sergio Rodriguez, he should be able to dance circles around Rodriguez. Damian Lillard, 8.4K. So Lillard is still too cheap. And if you told me Lillard ends up being the second highest point guard on the night next to Westbrook, is that possible? Yep, I think that is possible. Kemba Walker is not a great defender. And I think this is a sneaky game. It's going to go under the radar. Everyone's going to be on the Houston-Milwaukee game and the Golden State-OKC game. I'm going to try to attack this Portland-Charlotte game. I like Lillard. If you don't want to do it in cash, I understand if you want to go with other guys, but I think he is safe pretty much for all formats. As is the next guy, Kemba Walker, 7.9K. I will have me a Damian Lillard, Kemba Walker stack for my two point guards. Even with Batum back, I think Kemba's relatively a little bit too cheap. He's kind of been, I don't know if he's been a Magic Mountain guy, but he has been a little bit up and down. The assists have been the thing that's been kind of frustrating for me. But the sole reason for that, and that's why I call it the Charlotte Batums, that's how you know Batum's running a lot of the team. When you see games where Kemba has two assists, three assists, then he had one with 10, but Batum wasn't playing. Then he had three, five. He's had lots of games, like less than five assists. And that's because he's running off of screens like a shooting guard while Batum's running that offense. So that's one reason why Kemba may be only a single entry or tournament play for me only. But I still like the play. Jeff Teague, 7.8K. So Indiana's playing way down in pace. Teague's expensive. I mean, he's really got to get you 40. The last, looks like 10 games or so, he's only done that like one time. He's been close some other games. But on this nine-game slate, I don't think you need to do it playing way down in pace. He's going to get some fewer possessions. But I don't mind it in the tournaments. Mike Conley, I think Conley's a guy who's fine for all formats. So Memphis playing way up in pace, and Conley's been really good lately. 48, 39, 40, 35, 50, 40, the last like six games or so. So John Wall is a sneaky good defender, and Washington does defend that position really well. But Conley has a 29.4% usage rate, which is really good, especially because they have Marc Gasol too. And I think this is a really good spot for him. I actually like the idea of teaming up Conley and Gasol in a couple of tournaments. So I'm fine with him all formats on this slate. And you know, he's basically $2,000 cheaper than Isaiah Thomas. And could he end up with more points than Isaiah Thomas? I actually think there's like a 50% chance he does. So yeah, I mean, remember, you're getting him you're getting Conley at a discount because he's going to get like an extra 20 possessions just because of pace on this slate. Dennis Schroeder, 6.5K, tournaments only. He did have a nice bounce back last game after basically getting benched for a couple nights, but it is playing Detroit. They are way down in pace. I do like the fact that KCP is probably going to be out because I think KCP would have been defending him a lot. So I think he's an intriguing tournament guy. He does have 40, 45 Fanduel point upside. He'll be less than 10% owned. He might be less than he'll be like probably 6-8% owned on this slate. Jrue Holiday. If Anthony Davis is out, he's 6.4K, not a super fast paced game against Orlando, but I'm going to have a little bit of exposure if Anthony Davis is out. If Anthony Davis plays, I really don't want any part of Jrue Holiday. Reggie Jackson, he's been frustrating. Last couple games, last four games now, 25, 10, not 20, and 22. So what does that mean? Tournaments only. And if you play him, you can't feel good about it. With that said, that's how you win a tournament. He does have talent. He's still got almost a 31% usage rate. No one's going to play him either. He'll be less than 10% owned. A nine-game slate. Atlanta, What do we attack from Atlanta? We attack point guards. That's why Schroeder got benched. So a really good tournament play. Elfrid Payton, 6.2K. He's flashed 50 fandom point upside. In the last two games, he's been great. 40 against Denver, where you can attack their point guards. And then he had almost 60 against Utah. So, now he gets the Pelicans who struggle to defend any position, and especially point guard. So he's probably in play too. I still do not want to use him in cash games, but tournaments, yeah, you can do it. Derrick Rose, I just don't think Derrick Rose has the upside that guys like Payton, even Reggie Jackson, even a Drew Holiday, if Anthony Davis sits out, even a Dennis Schroeder. If Rose has a great game, he'll give you like 30, 34 FanDuel points, and that's like hitting value. So I don't need Rose on this slate, and I hate him. He's a criminal. Marcus Smart's too expensive because Avery Bradley's back. Patrick Beverley's 5.3K. So on Tuesday, he put up 28 FanDuel points. On the show yesterday, I said he was a good cash game play, and he will be an excellent cash game play as well in this slate. Because the Houston guys are banged up. D'Antoni plays all their starters monster minutes. This game should stay close. And he's cheap. He's cheap because he had that wrist injury. So he had trouble shooting for about a week or two. So fine for all formats. Malcolm Brogdon, that same game, Milwaukee at Houston. So basically, if I'm approaching that game and I look at these two guys, Beverley would be the guy I'd choose for cash. Brogdon would be a guy I would look to more for tournaments. Darren Collison's 4.5K. If Ty Lawson is out, I think you can do it. I mean, Sacramento's playing up in pace. He should be. He's going to get like 35 plus minutes if Ty Lawson is out. So, yeah, if Ty Lawson plays, probably not. And then Sergio Rodriguez, he's 4.1K. If CJ McConnell is out, he's going to get like 30 plus minutes. And if he gets 30 plus minutes, he's going to stumble, bumble, fumble his way into 20, 25, maybe 30 FanDuel points. And in cash games, that's perfectly fine, especially if it allows you to get a guy like Westbrook. All right, shooting guard. James Harden. So originally, I went into this slate, and my plan was to fade Harden, and I want to play because I wanted to play Giannis. I'm not a fan of playing Harden on back-to-backs because he takes so many threes, and if his legs aren't in there, and he played 39 minutes against Miami on Tuesday, he's going to have a bad shooting night. If he has a bad shooting night, yeah, can he still give me 50? Sure, but he's probably not going to give me the 60, 70 that I'm looking for. So I'm probably not going to use in cash. I will use in tournaments, but if there's no Ryan Anderson and no Eric Gordon, and then I see his usage rate is going to go up 10 percentage points, then I may reevaluate. Otherwise, though, Giannis at 10.6K, I think is primed to just unleash a monster performance. So you could save $1,000. The Bucks are not on a back-to-back, and I think I'd prefer Giannis right now. But obviously, both always good plays. DeMar DeRozan, I think I just may fade him entirely. He's 9K. You can play him. He's safe. The usage rate's phenomenal. But I don't have the right now in cash. I don't have the money. Kind of the same with CJ McCollum. He just doesn't fit my lineups right now in cash games. He's fine for tournaments. I don't mind it, but I prefer to play Batum. Batum's like $1,000 cheaper. Batum's not a one-trick pony. He fills up the stat sheet, and Batum's going to get some McCollum defense. Batum's a decent defender. McCollum doesn't play any defense. So give me Batum every day of the week for cash games. Bradley Beal's 7K. So he's got Memphis. So kind of the same rationale with John Wall. I don't love this for cash. You want to play him in a tournament because of ownership, I get it. Klay Thompson, 6.5K. It's just hard to get excited to play Klay Thompson. He's such a one-trick pony. The last two games, 26 and 23 actual points, but like barely over 30 FanDuel points. So he's fine. He'll probably make a couple of my rosters, but I don't love that play. Avery Bradley, 6.4K, just too expensive for me. I don't know why he's that expensive. He should be 5.5K. Victor Oladipo. He's 5.6K, so his price is coming down. He's coming off a bad game or where they got blown out against the Clippers. But to me, this is bargain shopping. The judge wants to go bargain shopping on Wednesday. I actually am going shopping anyway, so I actually have a need to buy a new blazer. So I'm going to pick up a blazer, and I'm going to pick up some Oladipo as well. And honestly, he may be a lock and load for me. Shooting guard is not great on this slate. I love the pace of this game. I think he's got a pretty safe floor. Klay Thompson defense does not scare me as much this year. And yeah, I like the play. Maybe I won't do it in cash, but either way, I will have a lot of exposure. Tyreek Evans, if Anthony Davis is out, I will load up on Tyreek Evans. I bet you he gets like almost 30 minutes. And 30 minutes of Tyreek Evans means like 57 shots and 198,000 dribbles. So if AD is out, Tyreek's an excellent play. All formats. Then, you know, these the two bums for Atlanta very quietly have been playing well. Tim Hardaway Jr. and Bazemore at small forward. So if you want to go back and play some Hardaway Jr., he's getting expensive, 4.8K. You can do it. You got Crabbe, Temple, Bellinelli, Buddy Hield. But I mean, Buddy Hield's also somewhat intriguing if Anthony Davis is out. Jody Meeks. And then my sneaky ninja of the night, Justin Holiday. Very quietly, he's getting in the 20s in minutes the last two games. If he gets in the 20s in minutes, he's going to get you between 16 and 30 FanDuel points. If he pops off a 30, he could help you win a GPP. Small forward. So Durant's price has come up. So now he gets his old buddy, Russell Westbrook. I want to fade Durant just because I hate Durant for ruining the NBA. But clearly, I will have some exposure. Look at his game logs. I'm not sure why his price went up because his performance has been good in limited minutes. But he's been 45, 45, 42, 54, 50, 50 FanDuel points the last five, six games or so. Do I think you need to do it? No. I mean, I don't think you need to. But it's, I mean, I think the floor in this game has got to be like 40, 45. He's got to be super motivated. You would think they get him some extra shots in this game too. So I don't know. Right now, I mean, he's not in my cash game, but I may readjust some things. So, I mean, the problem is you can't play Westbrook, Harden and Giannis and a Durant in your cash game lineup. I mean, you can, but then you'll have like six bumps. So you can have to make choices. But the more I think about it, Durant, maybe I do want to use Durant in cash, especially because after that, there's a big drop off in small forward. So for opportunity cost reasons, Durant may be a way to go. So I may have to reconsider, but obviously elite tournament play. Carmelo, 7.7K. If no Zingas, yeah, you got to use him in some lineups. If you play multiple lineups, it's not ever fun to roster him. He's a one trick pony. He gets ejected. There's so much going. Especially living in New York right now, there's so much going on in the media about he meets with Phil. He doesn't meet with Phil. He's not like. This is me talking to Carmelo right now. Carmelo, it's just me and you, man. Please waive your no trade clause and get traded and go to a contender. It's best for everyone. We don't want you on the Knicks anymore in New York. Not that I'm a Knicks fan, but if I was, I don't want you on the. You know, I can't imagine Knicks fans would want him. So please leave. Like I respect that you want to stay, but why? Why are you doing it? Go somewhere else. There you go. There's my plea to Carmelo. You can play him. He's fine for all formats on this slate. But why the hell is he? Why won't he waive the no trade clause? Go to a contender. Go to the Clippers. Like get out of here. Jesus. Paul George, he's too cheap. I mean, he doesn't even have to have a good game to hit value. He's just got to fall out of bed. I mean, I think he's going to stumble into like 30 FanDuel points. And that's basically, he needs like 35 to hit value. So has he been bad lately? Yes. But I think that's just too cheap, man. And again, I want to go bargain shopping, man. I want to win me a GPP tomorrow with Oladipo and Paul George as two of my guys. Now, will that happen? Probably not. But I will have a lineup with those two guys for sure. I mean, he's the same price as Rudy Gay, Paul George. And Rudy Gay, one-trick pony, Rudy Gay's been good last two games, though, 42 and 44. So it's actually quite an interesting matchup there. But I still would prefer Paul George. I mean, Paul George is just a better all-around player. So, I mean, they're basically the same price. So, if you want, you can build the exact same lineup and have one Paul George, one Rudy Gay. Sacramento is playing up in pace, so the Rudy Gay is somewhat intriguing, and Indiana is playing way down in pace. Otto Porter, not against Memphis. I don't want to touch him. No, you, the man without a usage rate. Trevor Ariza, I mean, if everyone else is out for Houston, you know, Ariza, every freaking night, dude plays 40 minutes. Played 39 minutes on Monday or Tuesday. Didn't play great, only had 21 FanDuel points, but that didn't kill your lineup if you played him. So he's basically fine for all formats if Anderson and Eric Gordon are out. And I like teaming him up with Harden, especially in tournaments. Jay Crowder, 5.6K. He's fine. A nice, safe cash game play. If you don't want to think, if you had a bad day, the boss is yelling at you, the wife is nagging at you, the kids won't leave you alone. I was going to say the bailiff, but for a year, I mean, I guess you guys don't have bailiffs. But you guys, maybe I'm sure you have pets, right? You have dogs, you have cats, maybe you have lizards, snakes. I don't know what kind of pets you have, but whoever someone's nagging at, if someone's nagging on you, just play some nice, calming, relaxing Jay Crowder, 5.6K. He's going to grind away 25 FanDuel points against the Knicks. Mark it down, and you'll be fine. He won't make you do jumping jacks for joy, but he also will not kill your lineups. Peasant Covington, 5.3K. To me, he's tournament only. It's just he's due for a breakout game soon. He's been stuck in the 20s the last few games. He had one clunker and like 12 FanDuel points. He fills up the stat sheet. He does everything except make shots lately. But when he does make shots, once every couple weeks, whenever he does, he puts up a 40, 50 FanDuel point night. Now, is he going to do it on Wednesday? No idea. And against Damari Carroll defense, odds are not in his favor, but he could, so tournaments only. The next guy I'm a big fan of on this slate for tournaments, Aaron Gordon. So he's getting the Pelicans. I like attacking Aaron Gordon when he's playing up in pace. Aaron Gordon, it's well established now that Vogel basically lets him, if he's playing well, Vogel's going to give him more minutes. But he, at the very least, he has a floor of 24 to 28 minutes these days. And if you tell me, even if he gets 24, 28 minutes, he's going to somehow stumble bumble in the 16 to 20 FanDuel points. And he's dirt cheap, so he's not going to kill your lineup. And if he gets it going, and Orlando does have some guys banged up as well, then he could give you 30, 40 FanDuel points. And that's how you win a GPP. So Orlando playing up in pace against the Pelicans, maybe Anthony Davis might – if I don't even care if Anthony Davis plays or not. It's just, to me, it's a really good tournament play on this slate. Marcus Morris, 4.9K. I don't know if you guys have been playing him. I have been. He's been a semi-magic – I don't know. But I got to think of a new – something like not as extreme as Magic Mountain. But the last four games, 36, 17, 32, 16, at his price – if he gives me like 15, he's the same price as Aaron Gordon. So if he gives me 17 FanDuel points, not going to kill my lineup. And if he gives me 35, 36 FanDuel points, that's seven times value. And that could help me win a GPP. So he's actually fine for all formats, playing up in pace against Atlanta. MKG, it's funny. So Portland at Charlotte, you have two clones. You got Aminu and MKG are basically the same player. If you watch them shoot, just duck in your apartment or house, wherever you live. He's fine if you want to do it for cash games. Not a ton of upside. The Bazemore, he's on a roll lately. You can load him in tournaments if you want. Other than that, Damari Carroll, so the price has come back down. 4.2K. I think he's safe for all formats at that price. He didn't play a ton of minutes on Tuesday, so he should be fine to go Wednesday night. An easy matchup against Philly, so he's fine. And then who else do we have? Stanley Johnson. If KCP is out, even if Stanley Johnson doesn't start, he will get the bulk of the minutes, 26 FanDuel points last game. So he's pretty much fine. If you want to punt small forward, you can do it with him. All right, power forward. So Paul Millsap with the Tin Man dealing with injuries might be the top priced power forward on the slate, 8.3K. Versus Detroit, Atlanta playing down in pace. I don't love this play, but it's relatively safe. Power forward is not – it's not loaded. Right now, the way that my lineup is being put together, I don't have a ton of money to spend at power forward, so I can't afford Millsap, but I think he's fine for all formats. The pace concerns me a little bit, but he's been pretty good lately. He's been basically giving you close to 40 every night. Draymond Green, the only thing that worries me here is he's coming off his best game of the year. So recency bias, he's going to be pretty high owned. Power forward's not that good. So I do think he's safe, though, for all formats. This is a perfect pace, perfect game for him. The price is very fair. So he's in a really good spot. Jabari Parker, he's going to be more of a tournament guy for me, although quite honestly, if you want to use him for cash, you probably can. He is getting expensive at that price because he's basically the Brook Lopez of power forwards. I was shocked when he had 10 rebounds a couple nights ago. But then he came back down to 5 rebounds last game. That's what I expect. That's the Parker I know. I know and love or know and hate. So, I mean, he'll probably find a way to give you 35 FanDuel points. And then what you do, you hope that because they're playing way up in pace against Houston, that he gets some extra shots, extra possessions, and maybe he can stumble into a 45-50. He's had 150 FanDuel point night this year. Actually, I think he's had 2. So it's possible. And Houston has no one to guard him. I'm not sure who the hell they would put on him. Nene, Clint Capella, Ariza might guard him a little bit. So either way, he should be able to feast. Enes Kanter, 6.3K. If Steven Adams is out, I think Kanter, you probably can reluctantly play him in cash, even though he let us all down last game with only like 20 FanDuel points. OKC, hopefully they will keep Kanter in, let him play lots of minutes, and do what some teams just don't refuse to do for some bizarre reason, and attack Golden State inside, because that's their weakness, and that's where you can get some easy baskets. And Enes Kanter is one of the most offensively gifted big men in the game. So if he gets minutes, he should be able to kill those guys down low with rebounds and easy buckets all day long. So I think he's an elite tournament play, somewhat of a risky cash game play, but if Adams is out, you can do it. Serge Ibaka, 6.1K, nothing sexy about Serge, except if you just look at him in real life, he's super handsome. But his basketball game is not sexy. His play has not been sexy the last few games, 20, 21, 28. So yeah, he probably just won't find a way to make my rosters. Although I will say the Pelicans stink defensively. Anthony Davis stinks if he plays, and if he doesn't play, they'll probably stink even worse. So Ibaka, he'll be 5% owned. If you want someone super, super low owned, he could give you 30, 35, 40 maybe even. Zach Randolph, a quintessential cash game play here. Memphis playing way up a pace against Washington. He's super expensive, man. 6.1K for a guy coming off the bench where I don't know if he's going to get 24 or 32 minutes. To me, it's pricey. But because they are playing up in pace, I think he's fine for all formats. I prefer him probably in cash because tournaments, does he have the upside that I need? I mean, it's hard to envision it. But also, who for Washington is going to guard him? Markieff Morris. I mean, he outweighs Markieff Morris by like 400 pounds. Speaking of which, Markieff Morris is next, 6K. I'm not a fan of really any of the Washington guys, especially in cash games up against Memphis. Tobias Harris is 6K. So Detroit playing up in pace, he's fine. He's occasionally going to give you a 40 FanDuel point night, and if KCP is out, he does see a little bump in usage. So he'll be low-owned. I don't mind it. Ilyasova, I don't know, another guy. I'm just sick of playing him. It seems like every day I click on him, every day he gives me 20 FanDuel points, and I'm like, yeah, thanks, Ersan. That really helped me out. So whatever. If you want to play him, you can. Not super exciting these days. Aminu, still too expensive for me, 5.6K. No. Thaddeus Young, 5.4K. So Indiana playing way down in pace. All these guys bore the hell out of me. I mean, dear, I'm falling. I mean, I had, you could probably listen to the show. I had great enthusiasm, right? And then I get to Markieff Morris. Actually, I get to Randolph, Morris, Harris, Ilyasova, Aminu, Thaddeus Young. Dear God, all those guys want to put me to sleep. Watching their game in real life and just talking about them. Montrezl Harrell finally got moved to power forward. I don't remember when that was. If that was a while ago, I think it was must have been relatively recent, right? So Clint Capella is back for Houston. Surprise! I don't know how many of you guys noticed that on Monday. I think he only played like 8 minutes, and then Nene still played a lot of minutes, and Harrell only played 16 minutes. So what I think Houston's going to do going forward is it's going to be matchup based. So here you have Houston up against Milwaukee. The Milwaukee's bigs suck. I mean, Greg Monroe. I don't see why they would need to use Nene. But either way, Harrell at 5.3K, it's going to be tough to play him until we figure out what his new role is going to be. Terrence Jones, if Anthony Davis is out, lock and load Terrence Jones in your cash games. He's great for all formats. Then you got Marvin Williams, Jermichael Green, Saric, Tolliver, Frank the Tank, Amir Johnson, blah, blah, blah. All right, center. DeMarcus Cousins, 10.7K versus Indiana. Sacramento playing way up in pace. I'm a fan of this play. I like Cousins. His price has come down. Let me check Indiana's defensive versus position against center. Where is it? They give up like the 10th most fandom points to center. I mean, Cousins, he hasn't had a monster game in a while. It's since like December 20th, he had 76 fandom points against Portland. But since then, like about a month now, he has not hit 60 fandom points. He's given you a couple 50. Usually, though, he's been in the 40s. So, you know, I can't do it in cash, but always a good tournament play. Joel Embiid, 8.4K. His price continues to rise. In some way, he's like Jokic, except at least Jokic doesn't have a minute cap. Jokic can play over 30 minutes as long as he stays out of foul trouble, which he's been doing lately. I mean, Embiid's been terrific, but 8.4K, it's super expensive. And he's going up against my boy Valanciunas. The first time Embiid played Valanciunas, I watched this entire game, and Valanciunas basically slapped him down. He basically said, "Nah, little boy, not tonight." And Embiid had one of his worst games of the year. He had like 26 fandom points. Had only like 9 actual points. Valanciunas is a good defender. So I don't think this is a great spot for Embiid. I mean, but the usage rate is so phenomenal. He's going to make a couple of my lineups just because of that. But I don't think you have to do it. But also, I mean, center's not loaded on this slate either. So Embiid's always a good play. Marc Gasol, yeah, I am a big fan of this play. I think he's safe. You know, you can save 2.6K from Cousins. And to me, he's a little bit of a safer play than Embiid these days, or at least in this matchup, in this slate. And, yeah, I think I like the extra possessions. I like the pace. And I think Gortat has – I've seen so many centers destroy Gortat lately, and Gortat hasn't looked good on either end of the court. So a good spot for Marc Gasol. I like him for all formats. Andre Drummond, it says here that he's got a knee injury, but I think he's going to play. If he plays, he's up against Atlanta, Dwight Howard, so not the best matchup in the world for him. Dwight Howard has been good defensively, so not a huge fan of him on this slate. He'll be low-owned. He's always 5% owned. Al Horford, I mean, the Knicks give up like the second or third most points to centers. So Horford's pretty cheap, 7.3K. I don't mind it. Another guy, he's always overlooked. Dwight Howard, 7.3K. So Dwight sat out the last game. I don't remember even why. Was he having back issues again? He gets Drummond, who is sleeping right now, will be sleeping tomorrow during the game. He's a mess on both ends of the court. Dwight should be able to take advantage and grab every rebound in this game. I probably prefer Dwight to Drummond because he's just saved $700 if he plays. So he's fine. Vucevic, 7.2K. If Vucevic starts, I think he's a good tournament play. Man, some center, it's all these guys right around the same price, though. The Horford, Dwight, Vucevic. I mean, I guess I would go Dwight 1, Horford 2, Vucevic 3, for cash games at least. Then you got Miles Turner, 6.9K. Miles Turner is a Miles Turner, no pun intended, is a tournament only. Turner for tournaments. He was coming off a string of bad games, and then last game out of nowhere, he put up 39 Vando points. He does have monster upside. The problem here is now he gets Cousins. He can take Cousins out on the perimeter and get some, you know, and run circles around Cousins athletically. My concern is down low, Cousins should beat him up. Mason Plumlee, 6.3K. I mean, I love attacking Charlotte centers because they suck, but Plumdog he's really expensive. I'm not a huge fan at that price. Greg Monroe, Milwaukee playing way up in pace, so you can do it. He's kind of fallen back down to earth a little bit lately. 23-14 the last two games. He hasn't hit 30 for last four games, and that's what he's got to give you for to hit value. Gortat, he's been bad, so his price is coming down. Now he gets the toughest defense in the NBA, Marc Gasol. So probably not the best day to play him. Then you got my boy Valanciunas, 5.7K. He should get, you know, as long as Casey doesn't go nuts, he should get lots of minutes against Embiid. The last matchup, he outscored Embiid in Vando points and actual points. Had a nice line. Played 34 minutes. 17 points, 10 rebounds, 2 blocks, 34 Vando points. Should he do something like that again on Wednesday? Yeah, he should. I'm nervous. I counted him looking over, about 6, 7, 8 times thinking he's going to get benched every time he makes a bad play. It sucks. Clint Capella, no way, too expensive. Played 8 minutes in his first game back. Joakim Noah, for tournaments, you can do it. 5.1K. You can attack Boston Bigs. He's basically at Magic Mountain now. 37, 17, 31, 20, last four games. So he had 17 rebounds against Atlanta. That's pretty freaking impressive. Now, granted, Dwight didn't play, but still. And then you got everyone's favorite flavor of the day, Cody freaking Zeller. He's going to be super high-owned. He was high-owned a couple days ago, and I watched that game. He sucked. He played horrible. He got like 8 to 10 garbage Fanduel points in like the last 6 minutes to go from like 15 Fanduel points to 25. So he basically ended up getting you value somehow. But he is getting a lot of minutes. Portland, now he gets Portland, like the worst team in the NBA against bigs. So yeah, if you want to punt it and use Cody Zeller in cash, hell, I might even do it because I don't like center on this slate. So Cody Zeller is fine. And so is Kelly Olynyk for that matter, 4.3K against the Knicks. He's been really good lately, especially one of their Zeller brothers is out for Boston. So he's been getting like over around 25 minutes a night and 33-42 the last Fanduel points the last two games, which is glorious. So there you go. Yeah, you can play some Kelly Olynyk for sure. All right, that's it. That's the slate. We got through all 9 games. We got through recaps, Dream Killers, Dream Lovers. Man, I feel like that was a whirlwind of a show. Man, that was a Magic Mountain level show. I'm exhausted. All right. That's the slate, my friends. I hope you made some money on Tuesday. I hope you make some more money on Wednesday. If you want to get in chambers, make sure if you enter the chambers on draft, the 5-day battle extravaganza, the snake draft tournament on the app draft, make sure you let me know. I want to know who's in there. That should be fun times. Look for that up sometime on Wednesday morning. Otherwise, I will post FanDuel chambers around 5 p.m. Eastern, probably DraftKings chambers. I'll probably post that periodically throughout the course of the post that period. Well, periodically throughout the course of the day. You can tweet at me though if you have any questions at Daniel A. Green 1. Otherwise, where's my gavel? Where's my gavel? Here it is. I got it. All right, guys. I love you all. I will see you guys tomorrow. But for now, court is adjourned.